You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. How you doing, church? Doing pretty good? I think you can do better than that. How you doing, church? All right, that's better, that's better, that's better. You're alive, you're not in jail, right? Amen. Yes. I have a confession. I try to be upfront and transparent with you. And so I do want to be as transparent as I can. And that got your attention, didn't it? Here's my confession. I love steak. Anybody, can I get a witness? All right, okay, all right. All right. Now, if you're a vegan, I'm sorry. But I believe that God made steers for steaks, pigs for pork chops, chicken for nuggets. If you're like, oh, that's, but I actually have a verse. I won't read it to you, but Genesis 9:3, if you want to look at this, seriously, it's why we can eat those things, but you don't have to. You don't have to. If you're a vegan, one of my daughters went vegan for a while, but then she realized she was a Houston, so she stopped doing that. But she did, like, I don't know, for a year or more, I guess. So this is not an anti-vegan message, so don't hear me saying that. But I'm entitling this message, Meaty Maxims for Baby Believers. Meaty Maxims. Maxims means truth, but it sounded better. Meaty Maxims for Baby Believers. And I had just down to 2 points. On your notes, you got 2 points. But these are so meaty that I could not, I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, and so my wife, 2 days ago, I talked to Robin. She said, just cut it in half. I'm like, that's easy for you to say. I got this all scheduled out. So I ain't going to do that. So I was working, 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 working. And then last night, about 8 o'clock, the Holy Spirit said, just cut it in half. So I'm all right. So point number two, we're not touching today. We'll get to it because it's huge. It's huge. But you OCD people in here, and you know who you are online. You need your blanks filled in, or you can't sleep. So I'm going to give you point number two answers, okay? For those who know, some of you don't care, but if you are OCD, I am in your tribe, then I need my blanks filled in. So point number two, all right? God works his will in his way. And there's all the scriptures. You can do the homework yourself. There's some huge scriptures. I'm talking meat. This is, you know, 24-ounce porterhouse. And then your little phrase, God is God, so God as God gets to choose. God is God, so God as God gets to choose. And then when you have pushback, because you're going to have pushback on this meaty truth, that you just are. Trust me, you read those scriptures and it's going to blow you up. And you're going to have pushback, like I first did, like I wrestled with. When I have pushback, first, I really don't comprehend the sinfulness of man. I don't think man's as sinful as God says he is, and that's why I have pushback. And then secondly, I really don't comprehend the sovereignty of God. All right, so those are your answers. I don't comprehend the sinfulness of man. I really don't comprehend the sovereignty of God. So I have just given you the answers to the quiz. So say thank you, teacher. Yeah, all right. So now, here's what we're talking about. Let me get my little magical pen here. This is what we're going to be talking about today in Hebrews 5. The writer of Hebrews is talking, and he's kind of beating him up. He's going to beat some of y'all up, all right, because some of you are this, and I love you, but it's good for you to face this. There's much more that we'd like to say, you know, or teach you, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull. Whoa, wait a second. Let me get, come on now, spiritually dull, and don't seem to listen. And that's some of you. I love you, but that's some of you. You're here. You're like, I'm here. All right, you're here, but you're spiritually dull. That's why Jesus over and over said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, because some people don't have spiritual ears to hear. And then he continues, you've been believers so long now, you ought to be teaching others, man. You ought to be a teacher. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. That's some of us. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature or maturing and through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over to basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. I mean, they're great. The teachings, you know, the simple teachings, the milk of the word, it's great, but come on, we need to move past that. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting. So it's like things like getting saved, you know, from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. And he goes on to talk about baptisms. Here's a sad truth, though. And I love you, but some of you, you know, the thing about baptisms, that's a milk truth. It's a truth, but it's a milk truth. It's a baby truth. Some of you haven't got it. Some of you have never been baptized. You've been a Christian, you say, for 20, 30 years. You're like, well, I just don't know. It's not that important. Well, Jesus thought it was so important that he did it as a model to us. And it's a milk baby truth. Some of you still haven't got that. You haven't ingested that. You haven't let that be a part of your life. So then by definition, you are still a baby. And so you're like, well, I ain't never coming here again. Well, you heard the truth once. So we went a couple days ago. We are looking at, you know, I mean, we're excited about partnering with different churches and different church plants. We do one in Norfolk. We partner with them. We support them. And there was another one that's starting. It's a Navy chief, Master Chief, actually, who's starting. He's getting out and starting a church next year. And so, you know, Jose met him, and we're all excited. And so we want to sit down, you know, and see if we could be a part of it, you know, and pray about it and all. And so I said, where's the meeting going to be? And they said, at the Butcher's Son. And I'm like, I've never heard of that, but it sounds very delicioso. And it was. You're like, well, Pastor John, what'd you do? I know you're, you know, doing keto, so did you do a, you know, salad? No, I'm at the Butcher's Son. So I did steak, which is also keto. Awesome. It was very good. What'd you talk about? I don't even know, but it was meaty and delicioso. Now, back to Genesis. Turn to chapter 25. Chapter 25 of Genesis. We've been coming through Genesis. And we only have three verses today. It was going to be all the way to 34, but we will get to that later. And now, if you don't have a Bible, there's a blue Bible in front of you. Should be close by in the seat backs. Grab that before your neighbor does. And put your name in it. Bring it back with you next Sunday. But that's our gift to you. And in that Bible, it is on page 22. All right? Genesis 25. 19. Genesis is an ancient book. I mean, it's old, over 3,000 years old, written over 3,000 years ago. And you're like, well, what could be possibly relevant to us in an old, you know, dusty book that's over 3,000 years old? It is filled with modern, contemporary, huge truths, meaty truths that some of you can't handle. I mean, you can't, and I want you to handle them. All right, there was a time when I couldn't handle them. But if, you know, if you've been a Christian any length of time, grow up, is what he's saying, grow up. Ingest these things. You ought to be able to ingest them, take them in, chew them. It might take some chewing, profit from them, digest them, and then gain strength from them. That's what God is saying. But some of us are still needing, you're only able to handle spiritual milk, kind of the, you know, kids' Sunday school stuff, which is important. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is true. It's awesome. It's beautiful, but it's milk. But some of you live on that, and not very well on that either. And God is saying through the inspired writer here, learn to eat the meat of the word. Grow to the point that you can digest the heavier truths of God, because you need them. They're there for a purpose. They're there to grow you. And so today's truth is, it's a meaty truth. And the truth that we are going to look at in a week or so is even meatier. Some of you are going to choke on that one. But this isn't spiritual infant formula. Or even Twinkie truth or spiritual jello-y truth. And so it is scriptural, it's biblical, it's helpful, it's huge. And at first you're going to go, well, I don't know, that doesn't sound so meaty, but it's huge, 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 because many of you ain't doing this. You might think it, but you don't do it because maybe you don't know how to do it. And so we'll help you today, hopefully. So let me serve it up to you, all right? Point number one, and there is only one point. God answers my prayers in his time. That's a meaty truth. Because many of you, because God hasn't answered your prayers in your time, you quit praying. So you're still a baby. Or, you know, you're like, okay, well, God, you're mad at God. Some of you are mad at God. You wouldn't admit it, probably, but you're ticked off at God. You might as well admit it, right? It means just, okay, God, you know, but maybe it's because you don't understand this meaty truth. So turn to chapter 25. It's on page 22 in the blue Bible. And we're just going to look at verse 19. And if you are a writer in your Bible, I'm going to tell you what I circled and highlighted anyway. So verse 19, chapter 25. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40, circle 40, 40 years old. Right now, I wrote out in my margin, 40. When he took Rebekah, so he took Rebekah as his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. Verse 21, and Isaac prayed, double underline, because this is a huge prayer, to the Lord for his wife, because she was what? She was barren. She couldn't have kids. And the Lord granted his prayer, underline that. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived, all right? So she got pregnant. So that was going to be point one of a point two message, but there's so much here, and I want to help you today. Because some of you are like, John, you know, and you told it to me, and I understand it. I've been there, but you're like, why doesn't God answer my prayers on my timetable? Because you ain't God. He's God. Somebody say, he's God. He's God. You ain't God, right? You know who demands what they want on their timetable? Babies. Babies do. Babies. The babies want it now. They want it now. How many of you had a baby? All right? Some of your babies are 40, but you had a baby, right? Babies, they want it now. They don't have any patience. You don't tell a baby, just be patient. Sit over there and shut up. At least, you know, the baby ain't gonna listen to you. The world revolves around a baby, and they know it. Pick me up, I'm bored. My bottle, I want my bottle. Are you deaf, woman? I want my bottle. I have a present for you in my diaper. Please unwrap it. And that's okay, because they're what? Babies. But a huge, huge meaty truth that many of you haven't learned about prayer is that God answers my prayers in his time. He wants to answer them. He wants to. He desires to. But and his timing is always perfect. So look at this. God has promised that he is going to turn Abraham's family into a great nation. And he's going to bring through that nation the promised Messiah. So that means that Abraham's kid needs to have what? Kids, babies. Now look at this. This is huge to me, and I didn't even see this. I mean, I've read through the Bible every year. I read through the Bible, or try to, you know, sometimes just the New Testament, but usually the whole Bible, and I've read past this. But you know how when you read the Bible and you're reading it all in one sitting, and you're reading, you know, past maybe a couple hundred years, but to you it took 5 minutes. And so you don't grab it contextually, and I hadn't grabbed this contextually. Isaac was how many years old? 40 years old, so right out on the side of your Bible, 40. When he took Rebekah, all right, when he got a wife, he got himself a wife. And so Isaac, he gets a wife. And we looked at last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, how that happened. And he's like, oh, man, awesome, God, she's hot. It's awesome. I can't wait. You give me these promises. You give my daddy these promises. We're going to have great nations come out of us. So I can't wait to see you fulfill your promises. Turn mama into a baby-making machine. Crickets. 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by, 10 years go by. To make matters worse, on Facebook, they see that his estranged brother Ishmael's wife is fertile Myrtle. She is popping out baby after baby after baby. 12 stinking kids. And here Isaac is, son of promise, no kid. And he keeps seeing these, you know, oh, rejoice with us, we have another son. His name is Shmedalel. So he's like, hey, God, it's me, Isaac. Remember me? The one that you gave the promise to, you know, of kids? Remember your word? Hello, God. Look at this. Genesis 25, 26. Go there. Now Isaac was how old? 60 years old. He was 40. Now he's 60. Do the math. Carry it down. 20 años. 20 years. 20 stinking years that it took God to answer his prayer. That's huge. Get this. God wants to answer your prayers. If you're his child, he wants it. If you're a good parent, don't you love giving your kids things? You know, that you're like, oh, man, you love seeing the joy. I mean, Christmas, something magical about Christmas at the Houston household, you know? And back in the day, we didn't have any money, but my wife discovered this thing called Portsmouth garage sales. And she would go out for a quarter. She could get a toy. And so she, all year long, Christmas morning. Now she did it weird because we always wrapped. And when I grew up, we wrapped our presents. So they had wrapped presents that were like sanctified presents. And then they had unwrapped presents. They were, I mean, the whole living room, garage sale stuff. Our kids didn't care. They're like, ah! And we would just love that. That's what God is to you. He loves it when you have joy. And and we're going to look at that in a second. He wants to answer your prayers. And he will on his timetable, not yours. Psalm 69, in verse 13, he says this. As for me, my prayer, so he's talking about prayer. My prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me an acceptable time. He's even asking God, hey, God, you do it in your time. He's not saying right now, right now, right now. But he wants to answer our prayers. He'll do it in an acceptable time. God is always right on time. Unless you're not praying right. What do you mean? Well, you can pray wrong. And many of you are. And that's why you're not getting, that's one reason why you're not getting your prayers answered, is because you're praying wrong. I started to say stupidly, but that would offend you, so I'll say wrong. You're praying wrong. And maybe you don't know it, and that's fine. That's why we're here today. But there's a way to pray right. There's a way to pray wrong. Some of you think, honestly, you treat God anyway like he's Aladdin's genie, right? Just rub the lamp. Say three whatevers and boom, here he is. He's not Aladdin's genie. Neither is God DoorDash. And God is also not Google. All right, he's none of those things. He's God. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's always right. His timing is perfect. So I want to help you out. Some meaty prayer truths. How I get my prayers answered, because so many here aren't. You don't understand prayer. And I'm learning. I've been a Christian for what, over 40 years. And I'm still learning. I just learned something recently that has really impacted how I pray. That if I remind myself, I'll tell you about it. So, how I get my prayers answered. And this first is basic, but some of you are blowing it here. I need to ask. I need to ask. Over and over and over again, he says, ask. Why? God knows what I need, John. I get that. And I get, you know, if you're a thinking person, you're dissecting things. Well, why should, you know, if God knows everything, he knows everything there is to know, he knows every need, he knows all the hairs on my head, then he knows what I need. I get that. But look at, I love Matthew 6, where Jesus lays it out. So Jesus says in Matthew 6, he's talking to his disciples. He says, when you pray, that presupposes what? That you do. When you pray, and he says, all right, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. All right? God's not really into praying unless you've got a thing that, you know, I've prayed for long times at a stretch, but it was always when it was a crisis. It's always when it was a crisis, all right? Here's when you don't pray long. When you're sitting at the butcher's, son. Man, I appreciated the prayer was shorter. All right, Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for these brothers. Amen. That'll do it. You can pray for the missionaries on your own time. So, all right. So, but you know, have you ever been in church and you got some deacon that gets up there and it's and now brother so-and-so will close the service. And you've been sitting there listening to this preacher yammer for an hour and, you know, hearing some music. And now the deacon, it's his time. He's like, dear Lord of Lord, King of Kings, we pray that you gathered here this great host of witnesses. That is, and then he goes on and on and on. You're going, I just wish you would die to go to heaven. So the new visitor's like, this dude is rough. Yeah. Sorry. No, do not. Oh, I just got diverted. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. All right? So Jesus said, yeah, God knows. But hey, when you pray. So he's saying, hey, just because God knows doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. It means you should pray. And then he continues, pray then like this. And then he gives the Lord's Prayer, you call it, or the Lord's pattern, or the Lord's template for prayer. So he says, hey, when you pray, by the way, God already knows it, but you bring your needs to him. You use that Lord's template thing. And some of you are like, well, you know, and you pray the Lord's Prayer, but you just pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, that's okay. But you ought, he uses it as an outline, like a sermon outline. So I pray that once a week, if not more. But typically, I pray each day something different. You know, I have a family. I concentrate on family on Fridays. On Mondays, I concentrate on America, our country, because we're supposed to pray for our country. On Tuesdays, I pray the Lord's pattern. On Thursdays, I pray my prayer list. So I do that. You know, it helps me. But with the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father." So when I pray that, and I'll pray it for my family too, "Lord, help every person in my family to be saved. Help them to really have you as their Father. And Lord, thank you so much that you are my Father. Thank you adopted me. Abba, Father, our Father who art in heaven. Lord, thank you that you're high and lifted up. You're sovereign over it all. Help me to understand that and embrace your sovereignty and your lordship over my life. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, help me to never dishonor your name. Please show me when I am. Help my kids never to. Help my church never to." And I'll go on like that. So it's an outline, all right? And that helps me. And Jesus said, "Hey, you want, you know, kind of an overview of how to pray? Here's how to pray." And he gives the Lord's pattern. So I need to ask. Prayer is why John, I still ain't getting it? Because God says to. That's his vehicle for blessing you is prayer. He wants to spend time with you. He knows what you need, but just like when you know what your kids need, they still come to you. You want to have that conversation with them so that they can know that you're the one that's providing. James 4:2. And this is huge. And some of you need to get this. We'll revisit this in a little bit if our TV ever works. There we go. You try to get the things you need your own way. You do not have because why? You do not ask. Why don't I have the things I need, John? Many of you, here's the thing. You're not asking. Well, you are. We'll look at that. you pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep," little prayers. That's not how God told us to pray. And the reason that some of you aren't, you don't have the things you need or the relationships you need or the healing you need or whatever it is because you're not praying God's way. And you can write this down somewhere. God's way of praying is work. It's work. But I tell you what, I guarantee you, how many of you got Facebook? Admit it in church. Okay, all right. Such a bunch of you just lied. No. Yeah, you do. Okay, almost everybody has one. All right. And all of a sudden you get a message. Is it called Messenger? Is that right? Messenger? You get a messenger. And you're like, "Oh, who is this?" Duke, Elon Musk. And he's like, "Hey, it's Elon. I was just checking out. You have some funny memes and all, and I really appreciate your humor and all like that. And I just thought, you know, here's my personal, whatever contact information, and I would love to do a Zoom chat with you every day. You know, and if you have any needs, just feel free, because, you know, I'm rich." How many of you would say, "I think I'll take him up on that"? Huh? Come on. I would get a Facebook account for that. Hey, Elon, guess what? God made Elon. God is Elon is a little speck on the seashore of life compared to God, my God, who I can talk to. I don't get to talk to Elon, but I get to talk to God every day. The God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The God who can fix the things in my life. I get to talk to that God. I get to come to him, and I get to ask him things. And he fixes me. So I need to pray. But I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it. You just need to obey. Right? You have not because you ask not. Write this down somewhere. I don't know if I've told you this yet or not. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Some of you pray, "I love you," but you pray, it's wrong. Because you come to God and you use a lot of flowery language. Or some of you don't come to God because you don't know flowery language. You look at the prayers in the Bible. They're basic. They're like street level talking. There's none of this high, holy sounding stuff. You know, it's just how everybody interacts with each other. And you don't need to kneel. Now, sometimes I'll kneel, not very often because my knees really hurt. So Jesus walks along. One time he says he's looking up and he's praying with his disciples. He's just praying and his disciples are following and just listening, taking notes. Right? In Gethsemane, he prayed, you know, a different way. There's no one way to pray, but it is through Jesus, to the Father, through the Son. You ask. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not talking. Prayer is not religious, you know, recitation. is just asking. That's what prayer means. The word prayer in the Greek means ask, to ask. If you come to God and you talk to him, but you haven't asked, you haven't prayed. And that's Bible. I need to ask earnestly, earnestly. Isaac was doing his part, you know? He's doing his part. Now, he could have said, God, you promised a child, so I'm just going to pray and done nothing else. I mean, not even got with mama. Just give me a miracle baby, Jesus. God said, no, you got to do your part. So he, you know, got with mama, kissy, kissy. But it's nothing. He's praying the whole time, 20 years praying, earnestly. Past those you just got to understand what prayer is and is not. The same word for prayed that he's praying is in the Hebrew. It's the word when Moses would come and say, hey, Pharaoh, there's going to be a plague. And then God would send a plague. And then Pharaoh would go, I'm sorry. Please take the locusts away. And then Moses would stand up there and pray those locusts away. That's the same word for the word prayer here with Isaac. It's an earnest prayer. This is not I lay me down to sleep. This is God, you made a promise. You made a promise to me. I'm banking on you keeping that promise, and I'm going to ask until I get it, even if it takes 20 years. That's how God wants his kids to pray. In the book of Hebrews, he says this, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We'll find grace to help us when we need it most. This word boldly is, I didn't know this until I was studying this message either. I knew it meant boldly, but it really means I just totally lost it. Isn't it bad getting old? Oh, there it is. Speak freely. And that took me back to my military days. You know, you come to the captain's quarters and you stand outside, pop, ta, and he goes, here's something, come in, enter, here's something. And then he says something and you're like, and you got something to say and you're like, oh, me. And then he says, whoa, and you say, sir, permission to speak freely. And then you just say it, you know, boldly. That's what he's talking about. You're there before the God of the universe, but you are speaking freely, permission to speak freely. We have been doing some of that here recently. Those of you that are new probably don't know Pastor Earl Bowie. He's a longtime partner in Nicaragua. He's a Nicaraguan native there, and he does. He's like an Apostle Paul there. No kidding. He's over all these different churches. You know, he goes, he mentors all these pastors, has these orphanages that he was over. And he's always going across Nicaragua on those horrible, horrible roads. And he was going on the way to Managua. And some of you have been with us on those mission trips. And those, you know, those people drive crazy. And those huge gutted, you know, roads, just gravel roads. They're going 60, 65 miles an hour. And he hit something. I don't know the whole detail. And the SUV flipped and rolled. And in this picture, the people from the village nearby came out. They're trying to help. Earl's still in there. And so he, you know, he's had a huge laceration in his head, and his back was crushed in several places. His neck, vertebrae's messed up really bad. You're like, well, did the EMTs, did they get there? And yeah, the EMT, Nicaraguan EMT, put him in the back of a pickup truck, drove him over those roads for 2 hours to the hospital. And, man, when I saw that picture, I'm like, oh, no, oh my goodness. Surgeon said, only 10% chance he'll even make it alive out of surgery. Only 10% chance. And if he does, he'll be in a vegetative state the rest of his life. But we got a God that answers prayer. And we started praying. And people all around the world started, because Earl has, you know, he knows so many people, and you meet him, and many of you have met him. He just, you know, he's your best friend right away. He's just that big bear hug dude. And we were praying and praying, and God, you know, praying earnestly. And I told the Lord, you know, not that I'm anybody, but I said, I used to pray a lot. It's just a habit. It's not bad if you do it, but it's just not accurate. Where I would say, God, help me to do this. Help me to do that. You know, Lord, you might say, help me to get a job, or, you know, help me to find a spouse. And I would pray that for other people. Lord, help them, you know, to get a healing. But I quit doing that. Because that sounds like, God, you kind of come alongside, you know, you kind of help. No. It's now I'm praying, I think stepping up boldly. Lord, I need this. I need this now. I need this, and you can change your timetable. But like with Earl, Lord, they say that he's only got a 10% chance of even making it through surgery. God, I need, and I told him, I need Earl. I need Earl here for what we're doing. I need her in Nicaragua. I need a partner. We need to step it up. And so he can't die, Lord. I need this. Earl's family needs this. Earl's churches need this. We started praying bold prayers, and Earl woke up from the surgery, and now knowing Earl, he's telling jokes, and he had movement in his arms a little bit. And then just yesterday when the nurse was washing his back, he felt something on his back. So, yeah. Permission to speak freely, Lord. But John, I'm not that good at prayer. Good, then you're the perfect. We don't have to untrain you. Some of you we have to untrain. Some of you I wouldn't let you pray in public because you just... You need to go learn how to pray like just a normal human. The disciples of Jesus, they weren't good prayers either. They weren't, you know, the Pharisees, they were all, and Jesus whacked the Pharisees. He said, don't be like the Pharisees who go this long, you know, little sermonettes and flowing robes and trying to impress everybody. He said, well, when you pray, go somewhere privately. Get with God. So the disciples said, Lord, hey, you know, we're not very good prayers. So we see you praying. We see you getting answers to your prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. So then Jesus gives them the pattern, or the Lord's Prayer, you call it. And then after that, he says this. I love this. And then teaching them more about prayer. So this is in the context of the Lord's Prayer. He gives them an illustration. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. You want to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, hey, a friend of mine, another friend has just arrived for a visit. I got nothing for him to eat, man. I need some bread. And suppose the dude's in his bedroom, calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door's locked for the night. My family and I are in bed. I can't help you. He says, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. I love that. What is Jesus saying? Be shamelessly persistent with my Father. Because he's better than a friend who's already in bed. But he's saying, let him say what he's saying. So I tell you, keep on asking and you will what? Receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will what? Find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Some of you have not gotten that, and so you've not gotten your prayers answered. Some of you got a family member that's going crazy. God help you if it's your spouse. But some of you it is. Some of you it is. And you're just, you know, you're not knocking, you're not seeking. You might do a little piddling prayers, but you're like, oh, are you giving up? And you know Isaac who's prayed for 20 years? I got a family members who are not Christians, who are not even in Christian, they're in a different faith system. We've been praying for them for 44 years. Going to see him next Sunday for the first time since after COVID. And so I'm praying, God, all right, we've given them the gospel. They've heard the gospel. God, just do something. We've been knocking, seeking. And then one day I want that door to open up and them to trust Jesus as their Savior. So what is he saying? Ask earnestly. That's what he's teaching his disciples. Quit praying your little kindergarten piddly prayers. Then I need to ask often. Jesus tells another illustration, another story. One day Jesus told his disciples another story, to tell them that they should always pray and never give up. All right, what's the story going to be, Jesus? All right, let me drop this on you. And this is to me kind of mind-blowing. There was a judge in a certain city. All right, so the judge is going to represent who? God. All right, put quotes, you'll see why. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. I need justice. I want justice. So he says, the judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, I don't fear God. He's the unjust judge. I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see if she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. The Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Because it takes faith to pray like that. And some of you don't have faith. Not much. Not enough to keep you praying. You've given up. Or you've been praying wrongly. So this is the praying that gets results. That's the praying that Isaac did for 20 stinking years. Then I need to ask right. What do you mean ask right? Real quickly. Asking right means asking according to his will. It's been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done in heaven, but to get his will done on earth. And when I understand that, when I'm rightly ordered, when I understand that it's not all about me, and this is why I'm so big on, and you ought to write this in your sheet and look at it later on, in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is something I told you I do every day. I present myself. I really pray through Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I personalize it. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So I say, Lord, man, you've been merciful to me. You saved me. I was an idiot. I was running around. I was a drunk. I was a fool. And you reached out and you drew me to yourself and you saved me. You adopted me and you have been merciful to me. And so because of that, Paul says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies, which means your body, soul, spirit, everything about you, to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. So I do that every morning. I did this morning. Lord, I present myself again. Another time of worship, another time of sacrifice. Today, Sunday. God, I told him before the service at my house, I said, Lord, I give this to you. What do you want done here? Lord, I want to give you me, the best of me, which is a reasonable service, says. Make it pleasing. Make your sacrifice pleasing to God. That means top shelf you, best of you, first fruits you, not leftover you. So God, I want to give you that, which is my reasonable act of worship. That is me understanding it's not all about me. And so he's got a will. I need to ask right according to his will. 1 John, this is the confidence we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know. So there's this confidence, this assurance. That's why I could keep praying, Lord, if I understand that it is your will. Now, sometimes we don't know if it's his will. Like, you know, Lord, should I, you know, please help me to marry Shaniqua? All right, that's prayer. You don't have a promise in the Bible that Shaniqua is for you, right? Yeah? Shaniqua may kill you. You don't know. So there are some things I pray that I don't know that if it's God's will. See what I mean? I mean, I prayed for the right wife for years and years and years. You know, and I was sure it was, you know, this girl. I was sure it was Ellen. I was sure it was Donna. And praise God, it wasn't. Until I got the right one. But I couldn't say, Lord, you promised me Donna. You can't find that in his word, right? But there's a whole bunch you can, which we're gonna look at. But if I pray anything according to his will, if I can find a promise in scripture, then I know that he's going to. That keeps me praying. That keeps me tracking on my prayer list. Now, not for my own lusts. Lust means desires. In the book of James, he says, this passage we looked at before, you don't have because you don't ask, but some of you do ask. This is some of you, and you don't receive because, here's why, John, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Maybe it's because you're asking wrongly. You're trying to spend it on your own passions, or some versions have lusts or desires. All right, you just want it. Me, 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 me. God help me win lotto. Some of you pray that. Dumb prayer. Why? Because lotto would ruin you. It would ruin you. Some of you can't handle thousands. How could you handle millions? Seriously. I think lotto would ruin me. It would. That's why I don't pray it. I don't play it. I don't pray it either. John, I'm going to win a lotto and I'm going to bring a big check. Oh, yeah, right, sure. Prove it, prove it. Do it. Make me a liar. So, it's all gimme, 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 me, 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 my. Okay, yeah. No. Not even considering God. Again, God's not a magic genie. But when I come to the host of the Lord's armies and saying, God, you've got a specific will for my life. I'm presenting you myself for that. So I, in order to fulfill that, I need a job or I need a spouse or I need some money or I need a supply line. Then you're going to get it. Remind God of his promise. This is huge. I want to kind of camp here just a little bit. Psalm 119, I honor and love your commands, all right? So I'm following your word. I meditate on your decrees. Remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all of my troubles. He says, hey, I've got these promises. And so I'm going to remind you, God, just like your kids do. How many of you have kids? You got kids or you had kids, all right? All right, so your kids. Have you ever promised your kids something and then you kind of didn't? You're like, oh, crap, why did I do that? Like, all right, you know, if you clean your rooms, all three of you get all your rooms clean, you know, at one time, that means probably Jesus is coming. But also, it means that we're going to go to King's Dominion. Anybody done anything like that? And guess what? They do it. Now you're on the hook. Now, do your kids just wait for you to answer that? Woo-de-doo. And they get together, have a little confab. When do we think we're going to King's Dominion? I don't know. I'm just trusting in God or my daddy's timing. No. No. What do? Oh, they bug the crud out of you. And what do they say? If you give pushback, what do they say? You promised. You promised. And if you're a good parent, you go, yeah, okay. And you do it, right? That's God. God is a good parent, and he doesn't roll his eyes. He's given those promises, and he's just waiting for you to claim them. But a lot of you, you can't claim them because you don't know them. The more you know the word of God, the more prayers you're going to get answered. Why? Because you're understanding what he wrote to you. There are some things in here that aren't for you. You're reading somebody else's mail. That's cool. You can get a principle out of it, okay? This is how God's heart, you know, works. So, okay, but God has only promised that maybe to the Jews at that time or to Israel or to Jacob or to Isaac, some specific promises. But there are a whole bunch. Don't worry. You've got a whole bunch of promises specific to you if you're a child of God. But many of you, the reason your life is prayer, you know, famine territory is because you don't know them. Because if you knew them, you could hold them to God and go, you promised. So you need to get in the Word of God. Isaac had every right to ask God for children because God had made the covenant promises. And that drove him to pray for 20. I'm sure it wasn't fun praying for 20 years. You know, day after day after day, especially when his brother, who he doesn't like, is having kids, you know, at the wazoo. What do you have? What do you have? What need do you have? Really, really, really a need that you don't have. You need something and you don't have it. Some of you, it's a job or a relationship. You're lonely, or maybe a healing like Earl, or a financial need, or a wayward. Some of you sitting right here with a broken heart, you got a family member that's just out there running with the devil. Maybe it's a kid that you raised them in church and now they're out running around. We had a need to, you know, have somebody to lead in musical worship at Point Harbor. And God just answered that. We're going to introduce him to you today. I have a bullet journal, I call it. I'm tactile. I'm kind of weird. But you know, a lot of you're totally techy, tech savvy, and I just tech drives me insane. I use it, you know, some. But there's something about writing things down in my own handwriting that helps me, you know, remember. And then I have this prayer list. So I've got my prayer list. I write pretty small. And if you say, hey, John, pray for, you know, and if it's not like, you know, a little hangnail or something like that, but it's something, then I will put you on my prayer list, and I'll try to remember to see you in the foyer and say, hey, how is it going? But you know what really gets me? I love it. I get endorphins when I draw lines through your name. Because that means one of two things. It does, right? So, yeah, so, all right, but anyway. But I put a check mark and the date that God answered that prayer. And that, I mean, that just, it stokes me. We were praying for a long time for a Hispanic pastor, and we interviewed 8 different people. And we'd been doing this for years, you know, thinking about it, praying about it. And just like a month ago, I with Victor and Sylvia, I crossed that off. This morning, I'd forgotten to. We gave an offer to Shelby and you folks. I mean, we had tons of positive. Like, man, we need that guy. I said, I know it, right? Be praying. And so I was praying, you know, because, you know, hiring somebody is scary in church. Because, you know, folks can mess up and stink things up. And so we did all the background checks and all that stuff. But I'm praying, talking, meetings. And we gave him the offer and he accepted. And on the way in from church, I know I shouldn't admit this, but I'm driving. Yeah. I'm driving and I realized I still haven't crossed him off. So I crossed that off on US 58. Check. I'm going to remember to do it because I'm tactile. So, what do you got? What do you got? What need you got? In James, he says, you try to get the things that you need your own way. You don't have because you don't ask. So what's he really saying here? The reason you don't have your needs met, your real needs met, that word ask means with, it's a little bit scary to me. He says that in the Greek, it's almost like demanding. It's almost like demanding. It's like permission to speak, sir, but it's more than this. Lord, no. It's like, I'm a child of God, and I got a promise of God. And Lord, I need that answered. I need that right there answered. That one right there. This one right here, Lord. I need an answer. I need an answer for my kids. I need an answer for my spouse. Lord, we have a financial need, and we're faithful givers, Lord. We're faithful tithers. And I've prayed this prayer a lot. Lord, I've been faithful. You said, you know, that you're going to bless me financially if I, you know, and I'm trying not to be stupid with my money too, but I'm faithful with my tithe, and Lord, I have a need, and I've seen God come through. I've seen God come through and just bless amazingly, specifically. And you know what is even more exciting? You know why all my kids love Jesus? They're not perfect, but they all love Jesus. They're serving Jesus. Because my kids saw us when we were living hand to mouth. I'm talking hand to mouth. All we had was flour. That's it in the house. Flour and water. That is it in Bible college. I wasn't any government assistance or anything. And if I'm going to study for ministry and tell people that this stuff is real, then I ought to live it. God bless my dear wife. And I'd be out there, you know, I had a painting business, and I'd be out there, and you didn't have the contracts being signed, you know, like I needed them to, and that's all we've got. And my wife would get down on her knees with little Johnny, the big hairy dude you see up here. And she said, little Johnny, we need food. And God says, you know, that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And so we're going to pray that God will meet our needs, and we need food. And he'd pray with her, and time after time after time, many times within a half an hour, we'd get a knock on the door, she'd get a knock on the door from a neighbor that says, hey, you know, I have all this extra food, I don't know what to do with it, you got any ideas? He said, yeah. Oh yeah, come on in, let me kiss you on the mouth. Your kids need to see answered prayer. Your kids need to see, they need to see you praying, but they need to see God answering their prayers. But some of you don't know crap about prayer. So how are you going to teach them? What do you need? Keep on asking. When God answered Isaac's prayer to let Rebekah conceive, though, he did it in duplicate. You asked for one baby, I'm going to give you twins.
Yeah.
But John, I don't want to bother God. Write this down. I don't mean to offend you, but hey. If I think my prayers are bothering my God, I am sincerely being spiritually ignorant. Some of you are spiritually ignorant. I love you, and ignorant just means you don't know the truth, all right? So I'm giving you the truth. It's not about bothering God. He tells me to. He commands me to. He says in John 16, look at this. I pray this will work. There we go. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. God loves it when you have joy because he is answering prayers. He's meeting your needs. Here it comes down to this bottom line. I'm going to have the band come out. I despise God's promises when I don't bring them to him for fulfillment. When I've got all these promises and then I don't bring them to God, I don't say, hey, Daddy, you give me this promise and I got a need in my life that I'm really despising. I might be ignorant of them, but many of us are despising God's promises when we don't bring them to him for fulfillment. What principle or promise has God given you that you're not bringing to him to fulfill? Well, what do you mean, John? What do you mean? You got an addiction, a besetting sin? Here's a promise for you, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You will not. That's a promise. If you walk in the Spirit, you can overcome any addiction, any addiction. Well, I'm an alcoholic, John. I always will be. Haven't had a drop of alcohol in years. But no. God says no. No. That's what you once were. That's not who you are. It's not your identity. Worried about something? Some of you, man, you wear worrying as a badge of honor. Well, I worry because I care. No, you worry because you don't have faith. Let's just be real about it. Philippians 4, here's a promise for you. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I'm supposed to not worry about anything, but pray about all of those things. And it says, here's the promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Worrying is not something spiritual. Worrying is very unspiritual, no matter who you are. No matter how you were raised, you got someone who has hurt you. Here's a promise, Romans 12. He says, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God says, I'm the one that is the judge, jury, and executioner, not you. So that's why you forgive. If forgiving means you don't let it go. You don't release it. You release it up. So you're giving it up to God. Some of you are bitter. You live in a root of bitterness. You've got all of these things that are messing you up because you can't. I can't forgive. Yes, you can, because Jesus forgave you. And he says, if you don't forgive, you're not really his child. That's pretty heavy to me. So what do I do? But John, I can't forget. Yes, you can. By the power of God, you're not giving it away. You're not, forgetting about it. You are giving it to judge, jury, executioner. He can do it a whole lot better than you. He says, to the wrath of God. The wrath of God. So what, you're just like, God, I'm having a tough time forgiving, but Lord, I understand. I give it to you. I'm giving it to you by faith. You got an illness that they say is incurable. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases. Got something, an issue I didn't mention, back up against the wall. Philippians 4:13, catch all. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's a promise. Some of you are not holding the promises to your daddy. You're not holding them up, and therefore you're not getting your prayers answered because you're not reminding. God is just waiting for, he's just waiting for you to hold up the promises of God. He wants you to pray. He wants to give you things. That's his system of doing things. That's how he says, but some of us, what do? We just get a new credit card. And then we go, God, I'm in even worse shape. And he goes, yeah, because you didn't pray about it. You didn't pray. I knew you had the need. So why don't you take him up on his promises, people? Why don't you take him up, remind him of his promises? And you can do it right now. You can do it right now. Some of you are going through it, and we're gonna give you an opportunity. As the band plays, I'm gonna ask the pastors to come down, and the pastors' wives, prayer team to come down. So if you wanna pray with somebody, there's somebody you can pray with. You can pray privately, independently, or you can pray with a pastor. And there's power in prayer with other people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory. God says where his people are. He says, I'm there in the presence of God. I want you all to stand. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to avail yourselves. Some of you came in here and you're like beat up and defeated and you have a need. And now you've got an opportunity to do what we've just talked about. Is to say, all right, God, I'm going to take you up on it. I might not even know your promises, so I'm going to ask maybe somebody who understands that promises that meet my need. And then I'm going to hold them up to God. So right now, Don't wait for somebody else. You got a need, come on down here and just make your way to the aisle six. Excuse me, to the person next to you. And just say, all right, here it is. Lay it before the Lord. Lay it before the Lord. Come on down as they sing. Who are coming. And you can pray by yourself. And you can pray in your seat. That's fine, but there's just something about maybe I'm old school about coming down and taking a knee next to an old-fashioned altar or getting with a pastor or one of the staff and just unburdening yourself.
I've tasted and seen. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
what we want to do too to end this. Those who are praying, keep praying. But the rest of y'all, I want us to pray for Earl. For healing. Not just God bless Earl, but God bless Earl with just a healing. Lord, use whatever you want to do. But we, as the body here at Point Harbor, are asking a big ask. We're praying miracle prayers. And God is God. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants. But he says, you have not because what? You ask not. So we're going to ask. But I want you to keep asking. I want you to keep asking. If you don't have a prayer list, I want you to start it. Just put one name on there, Earl. Okay? So let's pray. God, we pray for Brother Earl. Lord, I need him. We need him. That's what we think. So we're asking. You've told us come boldly. So Lord, we are popping tall and we're saying permission to speak, sir. I want Earl healed. I want the doctors confounded. I want him to gain full control of all of his limbs, all of his body parts, Lord. And there might be some bruises and some bumps and stuff like that, but Lord, I want Earl walking, talking, ministering. Lord, he's got a couple more good decades in him. Don't take your servant. Don't put him on the shelf. God, give him to us. And Lord, let us rejoice. And you said you want to give us things so that our joy may be full. Lord, our joy be full on this. Our joy would be full. And I know his wife, her joy would be full. Don Maurice, their kids, those churches, those pastors that he is really a father to.